Hey, Scott Spears back with you here. Hour number two, WGH Talk's 12th anniversary, and people have gotten up and they've started to mingle. They're telling stories. It is a party to be sure. We've got former mayor of the city of Marion, Jack Kellogg, Fran Vall, Larry Barnett, Glenn Coble, Bob Walsh, Linda Sims, Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, Terry Tackett, Chad Clark, Ken Halloran, Aaron Brewer is going to join us this hour. Bob Walsh, Bob, come on up here. How did you become involved with this station? And how many years ago? It's been about 5 years now, hasn't it?
Well, since you brought it up, I was looking at my phone here, and I have a phone message here dated July 27, 2021, asking me to come in and do an interview on a book that I had written 35 years prior. I'm thinking, you got to be nuts.
That's right.
It took you that long to find it and read it?
I found this book in a pile of rubble, and I said, this is an interesting book. It was about a local pizza shop here in Marion. Bob had written it, and this book just had, there was death in this story. There was intrigue. There was robbery. There was thievery. I mean, this was a great book about a pizza shop.
Well, thank you. What took you so long?
Well, but now you have a pizza crust light. Now, how did the Upper Crust Society begin?
Well, you were telling a story one day about how you'd went to Tony Paco's in Toledo, and they refused to let you sign one of their hot dog buns.
I don't know if they refused. They just didn't ask.
They didn't ask.
And by the way, since then, they have, and I have. So there you go.
Well, when you make a big stink out of it, eventually they ask you. But, I heard the story. I thought, well, we got to remedy this, You know, they got a hot dog bun up there in Toledo. We'll do a pizza crust here in Marion. And so we created a pizza crust for you to sign. And that became the first inductee into the Upper Crust Society.
And you've also been involved during anniversary time. Because tell what you do during anniversary time.
We picked up the idea that everybody should sign a pizza crust. And so I think it was maybe the 9th year, 10th year, we made a pizza crust that for everybody to sign, and everybody here should sign before they leave today. How often do you get to sign a pizza crust? Come on. And so we started doing this every year on the anniversary, and we're up to number 12 now.
And every year you shellac this pizza crust, and then we hang it on the wall, and it stays here for a year with the anniversary year, and everybody who was at the event signs the pizza crust.
Right, and as long as you don't cover it up, you can see it hanging on the wall. But right now, you can't see it.
We'll find a whole new spot for it.
All right, Bob.
Well, thank you, Bob. Well, thank you, Bob, and also you're a big part of the fruitcake toss.
Fruitcake toss, and actually my favorite thing is the groundhog.
Groundhog. Talk about the Groundhog Day.
That started about 4 or 5 years ago with Warren Groundhog Harding, and so every year we've been having a groundhog, and people have been getting a plaque for being a groundhog, and a couple of years we had guests a groundhog, and we had a singing plaque. I don't know what ever happened to it, but somebody got out there has a plaque of the singing me and my shadow. And, so
we have 100% accuracy, Bob.
That is right. Our groundhog has never been wrong.
Never been wrong. And it's interesting. The people, we dress somebody up in a groundhog suit, and we march them out back here on February the 2nd in the freezing cold. And the bit is they guess, the audience tries to guess who is going to be in the groundhog suit. Now, the first year, it was James Anderson, Marion County Naturalist. The second year, it was Miss Ohio. Miss Ohio was the groundhog, and I'll tell you, if that wasn't the highlight of her life, to be standing in the back parking lot of this building on February 2nd, 10 below, in a fuzzy groundhog competition, she's still talking about that. And then, the one that shocked everybody, Mary Ellen Withrow got in the groundhog costume and actually rode around, walked out there and took that head off, and the gasp you heard from people when she took that groundhog head off, you wouldn't have believed it. And Mary Ellen has always been a good sport with whatever we're doing. And this past year, it was Warren Harding.
Warren Harding. I mean, I can't believe you dug him up, but all right.
And he was in there this past year. There is a great President Harding impersonator who looks like him, dresses like him, and once he's in character, he is Warren Harding, and he was our groundhog last year. So those are our four groundhogs, and we'll see what happens this February the 2nd.
You going to tell me who it's going to be?
I never tell you who it's going to be. We keep that a secret. We don't want that leaking out. Well, thanks, Bob, for all that you do.
And I do want to say, the last couple groundhogs, Chad has been there singing and entertaining, and I can't believe he's doing that in the frozen weather like it is.
But he does.
Yeah, I did.
We need to get him one of the groundhog hands there so he can maybe play and not freeze.
Well, I can say this because Mary Ellen is not. Mary Ellen wanted to be here tonight, but her daughter is being sworn in at the DAR, and Mary Ellen. She took that head off, and she looked at all the cameras and the microphones, and she said, "This is the height of my career." And I'll tell you, that is a great thing. But I will tell you something. Again, this groundhog thing, it sounds ridiculous, but the year it was Miss Ohio, the Associated Press, the National Associated Press, ran a story that it was Miss Ohio, that we were standing out back, that there was a prediction of the weather, and that Mary Ellen Withrow was the treasurer. And what the funny, and that she was out there certifying the prediction. What is funny about this is every time they run an article, Mary Ellen has said for years, they always put her age in the article. They don't put anybody else's age, but they always put Mary Ellen's age. And I said, I don't think that's right, Mary Ellen. I think they probably put other people's age. They ran this article on the Groundhog, National Associated Press. They put Miss Ohio was in the article. I was in the article. Mary Ellen was mentioned in the article. They didn't mention anybody's name, but there it was, 90 such and such years old treasurer, Mary Ellen Withrow. And she said, see, I told you, they always mention my age no matter what. It's a strange thing, Bob.
Something to live with, I guess. I don't know.
You got to live with, but not too bad to live with.
Not too bad.
And Mary Ellen's always
things.
Absolutely. And Mary Ellen's has participated in the fruitcake toss as well.
Right.
So another person who has been of great help. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what your favorite event. Fran Vall, I wanted you to come up here. Fran was here with us. Fran Vall has done such a tremendous amount for the community here in Marion and has always been a guest every time I've asked him to. Fran, it is so good to have you here tonight.
Nice to be here, Scott. Thank you for asking me.
Now, Fran, you have got a great communications background, and you did a show on this station for a period of time.
I did. I think maybe a couple of years, and it was a lot of fun, and we had some good callers, and things went well with it.
You always interviewed somebody in the community, somebody with a service organization or somebody who was doing an event. It was always great. It was a Marion Today, I believe, is what it was called.
Yes, and there was a lot of interesting people, as you well know, because you're hitting up on the same people.
Yeah.
But it was fun, and we got to know a lot of different things about a lot of people.
Now, Fran, the reason I wanted to come to you here, because you know a lot of the people in this room, what are your memories of Mayor Jack Kellogg?
Well, I came back in 2011 from all the things that I was doing and made this my final stop, my hometown, you know. And first thing I remember when I had a chance to talk to Jack Kellogg, it was a snowy day. It was a snowy day, and I said, boy, there's a lot of salt you guys must have to use. He said, yeah, you know what, Fran? There's not anything to show for it when it's over.
And that's Mayor Jack Kellogg.
That's Mayor Jack Kellogg.
Larry Barnett, who you're sitting next to here tonight. What are your memories of Larry over the years?
Well, I've known Larry for quite a while. We were, you know, similar age, prospect, and, you know, and things that he was doing with my old coach and his old coach, Max Ross. But Larry and I became more and more intertwined at Bowling Green. He got involved with his kids going to school up there, certainly. And I was working up there as a coach and later as administrator. And he would come up for football games and come up with a lot of guys from Marion, a lot of people that he was with a lot in those days, Larry. And it was always a lot of fun for me because I saw people from my hometown.
Larry has one of the most unique voices and unique personalities you'll ever want to run into. He is always a great guest.
He never, ever fails of being in a happy, good mood with a lot of good things to say, of which a lot are really funny.
You know what's interesting? I don't think Larry even knows this. Larry recently appeared on the show back in April and was discussing a trying time in his life here that he's going through, a health issue. And a caller called in the next day, and after hearing Larry, because he was so upbeat in this interview, and said, I feel like I can never complain about anything again after hearing Larry talk about what he's going through and how the attitude he had approaching it. I thought that was a wonderful thing. And that's something that can only happen on radio. Somebody listening can hear that and turn their life and their thinking around.
Major League Baseball was fortunate to have his services because there couldn't have been a better umpire than Larry Barnett. We know he was the youngest ever.
That's right. An absolute classic. Thank you, Fran.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fran Vaugh, one of the all-time greats here. Fran is an absolute classic. Now, Chad Clark performed in hour number one, and we love what he does, and I believe he's going to do my favorite song now. Chad Clark with another number here on WGH Talk. Take it away, Chad.
Sometimes life can get you down. You're walking along and it turns you around. You need a place to blow off some steam. My buddy's got one if you know what I mean. When a blacktop ends and it turns to stone, a good place to be gone. Ain't got no signal on my cell phone. And if you need a place to forget life's heavy load, deep hollow road. Right out front's a fire ring. A couple of guitars and we're fixing to sing. Passing around the PBR. And something a little stronger in a mason jar. When a blacktop ends and it turns to stone, good place to be gone. Ain't got no signal on my cell phone. And if you need a place to forget life's heavy load, deep hollow road. His stepdaddy was born right here. He said that winter was a cold damn year. He left as a boy for Vietnam. He came home a different man. When a blacktop ends and it turns to stone, a good place to be gone. Ain't got no signal on my cell phone. And if you need a place to forget life's heavy load, deep hollow road.
Very nice. Chad Clark, Deep Hollow Road here on WGH Talk. Wonderful, wonderful song. The first time I heard that, I thought, gosh, that is a great, great song. And it is a great song, and Chad's been nice enough to come on and perform that for us several times over the years, and it's always a great time. Now, I forgot one name to mention in the last hour, somebody who was on this station a lot, with the late Charlie Evers. He was a regular guest, and he would come on with me a lot, is George Kasotis. George Kasotis, he was on with Linda also as well, yes. George Kasotis loved to tell stories, and he liked telling stories, and he liked getting dressed in a tuxedo and coming in and telling stories. And you always loved George. There was nobody like George Kasotis. But George came in one time, and he said, I bet you didn't know I lived a portion of my childhood in the New York area. And I said, no, George, I didn't know that. And he said, I actually went to a public school in New York. And he said each public school in those days had a song. And the song was, Matt? don't sing it yet, but what was the song?
Yeah. The name.
PS-117.
PS-117, which is Public School 117 in New York. And George belted this song out on the air. And it was a very entertaining song. You know, George, it didn't take much for George to bust into song. So he went to his PS-117. And then one day, Matt's in the studio, and he's singing PS-117. And I thought, okay, so somebody 20 years old is singing PS-117 that George Kasotis sang. So for this crowd, Matt, to follow Chad here, you got to sing PS-117. This is the highlight of your life, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. All righty. So cheer for 117. Our school is always supreme. Loyal sons of liberty marching along to victory. Our standards are river high. We will always reach towards the sky. We will always stand right by good old 117.
Matt Morgan here, singing PS-117. Matt, what is your favorite moment in your time here at WGH Talk?
I don't know. There have been a lot of them. I mean, I think meeting Ted Williams was probably, I mean, that was pretty good. I mean, it's kind of like a full circle moment. Ted Williams is kind of how I got involved here, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. He's a classic. Things we've done with Mary Ellen, went around to the schools, went to New York, went to Philadelphia. We've done some traveling.
WrestleMania was pretty cool. Got to meet Lonnie Ollie there. That was pretty cool.
Lonnie Ollie's wife, yeah, that was a lot of fun. So we're having a lot of fun, and Matt's always helpful here. Thank you, Matt, for all that you do. Linda, I want to bring you back up. Linda Sims here on WGH Talk. Again, Linda's been here since day one with Voice of a People. Linda, what do you think is the importance of radio in a local community, which is certainly what we do, local content?
Right. It's a way to connect with the public. Because people need a voice, and a lot of times they don't have a voice unless someone is speaking for them or allow them to come and speak. Over the years, I can be out somewhere and someone may say, I know that voice. That voice is familiar to me. I don't know the people, but at least they know my voice, you know. And that means a lot, especially when you think no one's listening, like Glenn was saying, you know. So that has meant a lot to me over the years, you know. I know that voice. You just don't know how that makes me feel, because I struggled a long time trying to get advertisement and get people to call in and all that kind of stuff. But they're listening. Even if they don't call in, they're listening. And I'm very appreciative of that. But it has been really something I enjoy doing. I've thought about not doing it again. But every time I think about not doing it again, I get up and continue to come on, you know, and look forward to the next day. And people associate us as friends. And that's big. Someone that they can tune in and listen to, you know. A decent show or even talking about, sometime I do verses in the Bible or do Bible stories or word for the day, you know, and people will text me privately and say, oh, I enjoyed that, you know. I'm like, wow, okay. I didn't know people were really listening, but I found out over the years they do listen. So I think that is so impactful, to impact your community where they feel like they can call in or send an advertisement here that we can read over the air. You know, letting people know about their benefits that they're having. So I think that's good.
Hopefully a great public service.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have a surprise coming. I've just been informed. So we've got a surprise coming here in about 1 minute. Who would have known we'd have a surprise? Sean, is it true we have a surprise coming in about a minute?
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, so you don't know what's going to happen on this show. And we've got so much coming up here in the next about 30 minutes before we wrap this up. We've got Aaron Brewer performing. We're going to talk with Larry Barnett. And we've got a lot of fun stuff going on, but a surprise probably will be coming around that corner any time now. This is going to be a lot of fun, and very apropos for the stuff that we have done on this day. Now, here it comes, the surprise tonight, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, made it tonight. Mary Ellen, so wonderful to see you. I know, we've done a whole new thing here for a second. Mary Ellen, if you want to sit here for a second, we'll let you get a seat.
Okay.
Mary Ellen Withrow, by the way, the only person from Marion, because President Harding was not from Marion, to go to national public office and did it with no scandal at all. Mary Ellen, so good to see you tonight.
Hey, it's good to see you and look at everybody.
I know we've got quite a group here, don't we?
We've got a wonderful crowd.
It would not be a celebration. It wouldn't be an anniversary without having you here, Mary Ellen. It is so good. When I heard a few moments ago that you were going to be able to make it, made the night.
Yeah, well, I kept hoping, but you know how they keep talking and talking.
Mary Ellen had a prior engagement tonight, and yet she still made it here for the last hour of our programming. Mary Ellen, so good to have you.
Yes, it's great to be here.
Okay. Mary Ellen, I've got to ask you before I'm going to let you take a seat next there to Mayor Kellogg, but you were our groundhog. We talked about the groundhog earlier. What was it like to be the groundhog?
Well, it was a different experience for me. I don't know that I'd ever done anything like that.
It was a whole different thing, wasn't it, Mary Ellen?
I did like the outfit.
She liked the outfit. Mary Ellen has always been great to me. Anytime I needed a guest, Mary Ellen would come in, will come in, and always adds class and poise to this show. And I thank her profusely for it. And I got to tell a Mary Ellen story. Mary Ellen, first time I ever had Mary Ellen on the air, she was in office still at that particular point, and she was living in Washington. Bethesda at that point, right, Mary Ellen?
Yep.
She was living in Bethesda. And I had never had her on the show, and I wanted to get Mary Ellen on the show, so it was at Christmas time, and at that time, you need some good guests. So I thought, well, I'm going to try to get a hold of Mary Ellen. So I called her office in Washington, and they said, well, she's actually back home in Marion for Christmas. And I thought, well, how am I going to get a hold of her? This is the days before cell phones. So I called her son-in-law, who I knew was listed in the phone book, and I got the answering machine, and I left a message, and I said, could Mary Ellen please call me? She called me back, and it's the holidays. She's back visiting with her family, and I said, Mary Ellen, could you come on with me? And she said, what time do you want me there? Now, I thought she was just going to call in. She came to the studio, did 2 hours live with me as the treasurer of the United States, and I'm telling you, nobody is in a radio studio during the holiday time. When they knew that Mary Ellen Withrow was coming through the studio that day, they stayed and waited for her to come in, and she signed the Guinness Book of World Records signature on all the money that day, and that's the kind of lady that Mary Ellen is.
Oh, thank you for that.
Mary Ellen, I'll let you have a seat there next to Mayor Kellogg. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, here with us tonight. We are having a lot of fun now. What a great group of people we've got. Larry Barnett, Mayor Kellogg, Fran Vall, the whole bunch here, and we've got Aaron Brewer who's going to perform. Sean, come out here for a second. Sean was here on day one. The first day we were on the air, do you remember who the first guest was on this station when we started?
You asked me this a while back ago, and I forget.
The late Dick Kiefer, who owned Kiefer's Clothing. He was shutting down his clothing shop, and he came in, and you asked him to put you in a suit.
I did.
And he knew that was not going to happen. There was just no suit that was going to happen. He wasn't going to be able to do that. But Dick Kiefer was the first guest, remember?
Absolutely, I remember.
And we've had. What are your favorite memories over the years? We haven't had a chance to ask you yet of just doing things here.
Oh, probably, there's so many of them. I don't know. A lot of them, we had a lot of different places that we had our studio at.
We've moved around a lot. Almost like the cops have been on our tail. We move around so often around here.
So, yeah, there's a lot of different memories I had.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Glenn Coble, I want you to come up here again. And we're going to have some music here. This is going to be great. You were part of a quartet once, weren't you, Glenn? What was the name of the group you were part of?
The Overland Singers.
Yeah, and so you, what number are you going to sing for us now?
Well, I'll call the United States Army Field Band, which I sang with, and if they'll show up, I'll sing with them.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because Mary Ellen's here. Now, you've been on shows with Mary Ellen. What's it like to be on a program with her?
I've known Mary Ellen, I guess, maybe 3 years, something like that. And she's become a great friend. She probably doesn't agree with that, but I just love that I'm going to see her again. That's all.
And it's great to see her tonight.
Yes, it is.
Glenn, what is your favorite moment of doing things here over the years?
Boy, that's a tough one. Favorite moment, I think, I previously mentioned this, was helping Charlie get back semi to health. That day when he fell down and we tried to take There are a lot of people that wouldn't have handled it the way he did. I put stuff on his arm, and he screamed of the stuff that I put on his arm. But he was cool about it. Yeah.
It was a very sentimental moment, to be sure.
Yeah. And I just love Charlie. So.
But a lot of laughs. We've also had a lot of laughs over
Absolutely.
The years.
Yeah.
You ran for mayor once.
Talking about a lot of laughs. Yeah.
That was quite a run, Glenn.
You know, I've had a lot of failed runs, yes.
Someday we'll get into that. We'll just go through the runs that weren't.
Let's not.
Well, Glenn, it's always good talking with you. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Coble here. Now, Mayor Kellogg, I want you to come back up here for a second because, as we mentioned earlier, Mayor Kellogg on Sunday will turn 90 years old. How about that? Mayor Kellogg, I want you to turn and face the crowd here for me for a second. What's the best part of being 90 years old?
That I can get around, and I'm happy, and I can talk, to be told shut up.
No, not tonight. You can talk as long as you want.
It's just great. It's great to be this old.
Yeah. Well, and because of that, and your birthday Sunday, how interesting that it would fall to this. I think you certainly deserve a happy birthday from this group. So let's all sing happy birthday to Mayor Kellogg.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mayor Kellogg. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Appreciate it. Thank you.
One of the great people. Thank you, Mayor Kellogg.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Wonderful to have Mayor Kellogg here, 90 years old on Sunday. That is great. Must be doing something right. Person we haven't got to talk to, the legendary Larry Barnett. Larry, how you doing here tonight? You having a good time at the event?
Well, all the people you've talked about with my condition have died.
Oh, no.
So, no, I'll bring you up. I want to bring you up to date. I have a diagnosis of liver cancer, bone cancer, blood cancer, and it's now in my colon. And we talked to the oncologist, and he said medically, I would say 6 months, but he said only God knows, and I'll leave it in his hand. But I just want to say to my family, and I've got the greatest family in the world, and I've lived the greatest life that anyone in this country's ever lived. My wife of 56 years, the love of my life, Sharon. We have two daughters together, Susan and Katie. They were both born on the same day, 4 years apart, September 22nd. And when you saw me umpire, my number was number 22. My son-in-law, John, and Derek, they're going to have to take care of my daughters, and they'll do a good job. And Susan and John gave us one thing. It's our 17-year-old grandson, Carson. And I asked him the other day, I said, Carson, did you ever think about being an umpire? He'll be a senior next year at Guyana. And he said, Papa, if I go to the school and do well, can I go right to the major leagues? And he said, no, it doesn't work that way, Carson. He said, well, I think I'll do something else. But, no, I have truly enjoyed my life. I've been very blessed. And I ask God to please give me time to get everything right. And he granted that wish, and I won't goof it up. And I'm not telling people I didn't do chemo, I didn't do radiation, but that was me. And that's for me only. I couldn't tell anyone what to do because you don't do that. But that's where I'm at. I'm thankful for every day. I go to the Prospect Park. I love that park. For 26 years, I've been volunteering down there. I mow grass. I help clean the bathrooms. I remember a 4th of July, they had about 4,000 people there. And I'm walking, one of the toilets got plugged up, and I had a plunger. And I'm walking across the ground, and someone yelled, Barnett, they finally found something you could do. So, I love Prospect. And I ask people, in lieu of flowers, please, please, please donate to the Prospect Park. That would make me the happiest person on the face of the earth. And I have nothing to feel bad about. 81 years, and from Prospect, Ohio, I've done a lot of things. And I've been the most fortunate person on the face of the earth. And I thank God for that.
Well, and we're all fortunate to know you, Larry, absolutely. Larry Barnett, one of the great people. Absolutely. And I want to tell you, I want to say two things about Larry Barnett. He called Larry Barnett last year, and I said, Larry, they put you in the fruitcake toss. And he said, what is that? And I said, we toss a fruitcake out in the parking lot here at the station on a cold December night. And he said, what time do you want me here? And he came, and he tossed the fruitcake, and we gave him an award that night. We put him in the Upper Crust Society, and he's always been a guy, when you call, that will show up early. He'll stay as long as you want him to stay. And since he brought up this diagnosis, which I've never seen anybody face a diagnosis like this so bravely and openly with the public life that Larry has lived, when I found out about this cancer diagnosis, I called Larry up because I wanted to express, you know, I'm sorry to hear about this. And Larry said to me, I said, thank you. He told me what the situation was. I said, Larry, I want to thank you for all the times you've come on. You've always been good to me. Thank you for everything you've done. And he said, I'm not dead yet. I can still come on the show. And I said, you want to come on the show? And he said, yes, I'll come on. I'll talk about it. And he did. And he came on for 2 hours. And it was live. And he was honest about the diagnosis. And he was honest about the situation. And as I said earlier, we got so much feedback on that interview. How bravely and how greatly Larry is facing this situation. It's a wonderful thing, Larry, and I thank you so much for doing all that and being here tonight.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I told someone the other day, I said, when I pass, if I run into Billy Martin and Earl Weaver, I've made the wrong turn.
And that's Larry Barnett. Now, I since we sang Happy Birthday for Mayor Kellogg, I thought, well, what we've got to do something for Larry Barnett as well, because no. You know what we're going to do? Everybody knows Take Me Out to the Ball Game, right? For an umpire. Here we go. Are you ready, everybody? Who's going to lead us and take me out to the ball game? Glenn, ready? Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, for it's root for the umpires. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
I heard that song 3,431 times.
This is 4,332. We got another one in, Larry. Larry Barnett. Nobody like Larry Barnett, and God bless him for being here tonight. Thank you, Larry. Thank you for everything you've done and will continue to do. Now, Matt, we have Aaron Brewer coming up next, who's going to perform a number. Gabriel Rosvanis earlier. At that same competition, I ran into Aaron Brewer, talented young man, who was in the Bravo competition at Bucci's, and I heard him perform, and I thought, he's got to be here at the anniversary party, because he does a Beatles song. And I think it kind of echoes how we feel here at this station, because we have had a lot of days here. I don't know how many hours. I think it's over 10,000 hours of broadcasting here in 12 years. So, Aaron, I'm going to let you sing now. Thank you for being here.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why'd she have to go? I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Why'd she have to go? I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Aaron Brewer, what an amazing talent. Aaron, we're so glad to have you here tonight. What's it like to be here? Second time on the show.
Absolutely amazing, Scott, man. I love, especially with the crowd tonight, with these nice folks out here. You guys, no offense, you probably remember this song coming out, don't you? Yeah. It's a great tune, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you for
stick around. We'll have some cake here in a few minutes. All right. And by the way, we do want to again thank our sponsors for the night. Donato's Pizza, the L&P Cake Shop, have helped us put on this event tonight. We're going to have cake here momentarily. But, Linda, I want you to come up here one more time. Because, Linda, a few years ago at one of these anniversary parties, we were talking about this station and why it has succeeded and why we've been around and why we get together like this. Because, honestly, other stations I've worked for, and Linda's worked for some other stations, they don't really have parties like this, and they don't really get together and laugh and have a good time. During the break, it was kind of hard to get everybody to sit back down because people were talking to each other and laughing and sharing stories. What do you think it is that has happened here? We get together every Christmas for a big Christmas party. Mary Ellen comes in. Mayor Kellogg's been there. We all sing Christmas carols. Singing, you know, is sometimes better than others, but we get it done every holiday season. We have a great time, and it's been that way for 12 years. What do you think this all means? A decade and 2 years now. It's a long run in the broadcast industry.
Yes, it is. I think it spells F-A-M-I-L-Y, family. We have become a family, and we have adopted all of you. And even those who call in, and even those who listen that we may not hear from, we have adopted our community. And I think that is really something spectacular. And we love each and every one of you. And we feel loved by our community. We really do. What do you think?
I think that's very good. Linda, what is your favorite memory as you look back now? We've talked about the time being here. If you look back, do you have a favorite memory? 12 years of doing your program. We've done election coverage together. We've been here till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning doing that. What's your favorite memory?
I have to say it was election time. And almost had a knockdown, what they call a drag-out fight on my show. Steve Chafin, and I forget his last name, but they were, one was Democrat, one was Republican, and they just could not get along, and they was hollering and screaming on the show, and I'm like, wait, this is my show. They started screaming at me, right? This is my show. So I can say what, you know, what you can say and can't say, but it was spectacular. We all cracked up laughing. It was the funniest thing, wasn't it, Scott?
Yes, I remember. I was listening that day because I tuned into Linda's show, and I tuned in, and for about 5 minutes, I didn't hear Linda's voice, and I thought, I think maybe I've got the wrong station here. Something's going on. And then you were trying to calm these two guys down, and boy, they were going at it. But then the thing, Linda invited them back. So they came back and did it again. So they became a regular.
Yes, they did. But, you know, it adds spice to your show. And I enjoyed it, and I'm sure my listeners did too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Linda. As always, Terry Tackett, I want you to come up here. Terry, again, been here since the early days. And we talked about some political coverage earlier on and conventions and things of that nature. Terry, why do you think we've survived for 12 years?
Well, I think myself, a lot of it is because we're honest. I mean, you're going to get both sides of the story here. You're not going to get a slanted version or anything like that. And I think it's trust also too. I think a lot of people trust us, you know, to give the both sides of the story and to tell a truthful story.
What's your favorite memory in 12 years?
probably the New York City trip.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun in New York City.
Yeah, yeah. The Rockefeller Center, when we had a drink, and the little lady with Sean.
Oh, that's true. There was a little lady who Sean didn't have a collar on, so she wasn't going to let him in the Rainbow Room. So it was a whole fallout in New York City. But that's something that this station was able to do. We did a live broadcast from the Wellington Hotel next door to Carnegie Hall for a week. And the people who came down who lived in New York that week, we had the amazing Kreskin on the show in person. We had Jim Fowler, the naturalist from Johnny Carson, came down and guested on the show. Wild Kingdom, hosted Wild Kingdom. Pat Carroll, the actress, Emmy Award-winning actress, came down and guested. Actually, we went and interviewed her in Cape Cod. And Phil Donahue came and did 2 hours from the Wellington Hotel with us. And then later on invited me back to New York to his penthouse in New York to have a coffee with him and discuss things. And I think this stuff doesn't happen to people. This stuff really doesn't. But we've been lucky around here to have that sort of thing happen. And I think it's because we are there every day. We are consistent. And I do have to remember the celebrities who've been on my show over the years, because that's something a lot of people talk about. Sam Donaldson is on a lot, and Phil Donahue was on a lot when he was with us. And just Dick Van Dyke has been on the show, and Ernest Borgnine, Tony Curtis, Bob Barker, a great list of people. And I think that helped. Bill Macy, and I think that helped as well to have Betty White was on the show. I think that helped as well. And I do have a funny Betty White story here. This night's about telling stories. I met Betty White in person. I went to interview her and walked up with her, and Sean was with me. You've seen Sean tonight. You've heard from Sean tonight. He was with me. And we were going to interview her. And he is a very big Betty White fan. So all the time we're going to meet her, he is very, very nervous to meet Betty White. And I said, well, she's just a person. Don't worry. He kept saying, well, what am I going to say to her? What am I going to say to Betty White? I said, just say hello. You know, it'll be fine. Everything will be good. So we walk into this ballroom where we're going to interview her. And, of course, a lot of people are wanting to meet with Betty White. So I get through all the people, and I go up to her, and I say, Miss White, great to meet you. And she said, oh, call me Betty. And we had a nice little conversation, and I said, you know, I'm here to do the interview. And I can feel that Sean is just staring at her while I'm talking to her, just fixed on Betty White. And I'm thinking, well, there's got to be some point of communication that these two are going to have at some point, because we're all right here. And I think, I won't speak for him, well, I guess I will. I think Sean, she finally turned to him and said, well, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? And I think he just came out with the first thing that was in his mind. And he said, you look nice. And I'll tell you what, Betty White, without skipping a beat, said, don't sound so surprised to say that. Because she did look nice. But that was Betty White. That's the Betty White story. But so many wonderful people like that, and so many wonderful experiences over the years. I just think that when you're in people's houses and in people's car every day, that you just become their friend, I think is what happens. And over the years, you become friends with the regulars who are also on your show. And everybody here tonight is somebody who has been on with me more than once or on with somebody else on this station. And I think this is a rare breed of people here tonight. So I want you to give yourself a hand for participating every time I've called or somebody else has called to ask you to be on the programming. It's been great to have you all. Now, when we look back on this, I don't know how long, you know, media is changing all the time. I don't know how long programming like this will last, but I hope it will last forever, because I would really hate to see it go away. Now, I want to bring Dick Schwatterer up here for a second. Come on, Dick. I know Dick's back there. Now, Dick Schwatterer comes to every event in Marion and takes pictures everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing Dick. And Dick has been friends with a lot of people we've mentioned tonight, Sister Hatch, Martha Dowse. I first met Dick when he was photographing all Martha's events. Dick, what's it?
Take me.
Yeah, well, there you go. What's it like to be here tonight, and what are your memories of the people we've talked about?
Oh, there's so many memories of so many people, and one that wasn't mentioned tonight was Reverend Milton Lashley, and I knew him during his prime, and he didn't drive, and I took him a lot of places, and I took him to Wyndham's Market on North Main Street, and he would sign an X. He couldn't write, read, write. Totally illiterate, but he knew his Bible. And he was just like a celebrity everywhere we went. Hello, Milty. Everybody, Uncle Milty. He was always Milty, not Milton. And I just had so much learning going on from this man. And of course, Madge Guthrie brought him, she and her husband brought him into this country. And he worked on the Panama Canal and got a disease that debilitated him in some ways. And he received a pension from the government for that. So that's, I'd take him to the bank and he'd cash his check and put it in and or get the cash out, what he needed. But anyways, the list goes on and on of people I've known, like Martha Manasi. She called me her personal photographer all the time. Everywhere we went, she said, "This is my photographer." Like, it was a big deal. And, who else was it? There were so many.
You've had a good run here with a lot of people.
Yeah. And Mary Ellen's been a good friend in latter years here. She grew up where my dad was born, in Green Camp, Ohio. The Schwatters were from that area. Yeah, two uncles lived there. And they always talked about Mary Ellen Withrow. And, well, even before it was Withrow. What was it then?
Heinemann,
okay. I don't know if I ever heard that. She's always Mary Ellen Withrow by the time I knew her. But there's just so many memories of people in this town that have gone on. Sister Hatch was a dear friend. I remember talking to her at her back door one time, and she was telling me how she pointed to the sky, and she said, "You know, a tornado was coming in this area." She said, "I stood right out here, and I prayed that thing to just go around, Marion."
She used to rebuke the storm. She did.
So she called it rebuking the storms.
She did. Well, yeah. Dick, it's great to have you here tonight. We're running low on time, Dick, okay, but thank you so much for coming up here tonight and being a part of this. We thank you so much, Dick Schwatterer. All right, Sean and Matt and Terry and the whole gang, come up here. We only got a few minutes left in the program tonight before we wrap this up. Linda, come on up here. The regular gang that's here pretty well day in and day out, week in and week out, doing shows for the last 12 years. What's the best part about being a part of this station? What has this all been about to you?
The group of people you see right here. This is the best part for me.
I have to say the same thing, and, you know, all our listeners out there.
Yep.
The listeners are the best.
Well, I mean, I think I got to take a note from Linda earlier, and she was talking about it's a family. I think I'd have to agree with that, and obviously you got to thank the listeners. You wouldn't be a station without the listeners.
I agree.
That's the least Linda's ever had to say in the 12 years that I've known her. That is the least. What I want to say before we wrap up here tonight, and then we're going to have some cake, and we're going to get some pictures because I know people want to see the group here tonight who've been listening. Oh, and I want to say hello out there. We can't take any phone calls tonight. We normally do that. But Christian Pearson has been calling in from Washington, D.C. tonight. He's been on the program with us many times. So, Christian, we're so glad you're out there listening in Washington. And people do listen from all over the place. And we have been so incredibly lucky. And when I look at the group of people up here, I think these people come in. They run the board, they show up early, they come to these events, they stand behind the scenes in a lot of occasions to make sure people are dressed and ready to go on Groundhog Day, to make sure that the music sheets are run off at Christmas, to make sure that the fruitcakes are ready to go at fruitcake toss time. And they come in and they do their shows consistently, and they are all class acts. And I certainly appreciate that, and I know the audience appreciates that. We certainly appreciate the audience, because without an audience, it'd be highly unlikely we would all get together to do this. And again, the group that's here tonight, Fran Vall, Larry Barnett, Mayor Kellogg, Mary Ellen Withrow, Glenn Coble, Bob Welsh, the whole group here, it is really something. It truly is when you can call up a Major League Baseball umpire and say, come in on the show, let's talk about baseball, let's talk about your career, let's talk about what's going on, let's talk about your life, let's talk about your health. Larry Barnett does that. Mary Ellen, I say, Mary Ellen, I got to get this Mary Ellen story in. One of my favorite stories is of recent time, the 2024 presidential election. Of course, Mary Ellen was backing Joe Biden, and it was after the first debate, which we all remember, with Joe Biden and President Trump, and I had Mary Ellen booked the following morning live to come in and talk about the debate. To have a former treasurer of the United States, somebody who knew and worked with Joe Biden on the next morning with you, that's very important. And that was the debate that didn't go very well for Joe Biden. And I remember leaving the studio that night, and I was driving by the Harding Memorial, and I thought, Mary Ellen's never canceled on me, but I don't know if she'll want to come in tomorrow morning and discuss what happened in this debate, because Joe Biden did not have his greatest night, as we all remember. And I never got a message, and the next morning, here comes Mary Ellen, 8 a.m., comes in the studio, and she looked at me, and I'll never forget it, she said, I thought of every reason not to come in this morning, and I couldn't come up with one, so here I am. And we laughed, and she sat down, and she was absolutely honest. And she's the first person I know that said that Joe Biden should get out of the race. She said it that morning on the radio program. And that's tough, you know, because that's who Mary Ellen supported. That's a tough thing to do. But Mary Ellen, you did it, and that's a class act.
Yeah, he left his brain at home. Yeah.
And that's what she said that morning. That's what she said that morning on the air. I'll never forget that. But it's guests like that. Mayor Kellogg, as I said, and it bears repeating, so accessible, always accessible. And I know there were things going on in the city he did not want to talk about, but he always made himself accessible. And even recently, I said, Mayor Kellogg, I want to talk to you. And he said, well, come over to the house. And we did an interview at his home. He is still accessible at this point in his life. Fran, same thing. When Fran comes in, always leaves, says, if you need me for anything, let me know. And here he is tonight. Glenn, the same thing. That is a wonderful, wonderful relationship to have with people. And I just want to ask this particular group sitting here, why do you think this works? Why do you think local talk and maybe particularly this station works at this point, Mary Ellen?
I think it works because of you. It's the way you treat people. You are so good to everybody. And you remember everything and get things correct, and you do a terrific job.
Well, thank you, Mary Ellen. That means a lot. I appreciate that. Mayor Kellogg?
It's your attitude. You're always great. We can talk to you. We'll give you more than one way to look at something, and you agree to that, and you're just nice to deal with, and people enjoy you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Kellogg. Happy birthday. Larry?
I've done a lot of interviews in my life, and you're as good as I've ever had to interview me. You're easy to talk to. You listen. We discuss things. You're polite, and I just enjoy talking to you.
Well, this is nice. I mean, thank you so much, Larry. That's nice to hear. Fran?
You're interested in people and everything that goes on in our local town.
Well, and this group of people is as well. I thank you so much for coming here tonight. I thank everybody who's out there listening, and I thank everybody who has made this station a success in the last 12 years. It has been a lot of fun, and it will continue to be a lot of fun. Thank you all for coming tonight. It's been a wonderful night. We're now going to have some cake. Scott Spears for this night, 12th anniversary party, heading for the dugout. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you all. Bring the kid, let me